2021 earnings call hosted by Robin Chai. My name is Phoebe and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please press star and zero on your telephone and the coordinator will be happy to assist you. I'd like to advise all parties that this conference is being recorded. And now I'd like to hand over to your host, Robin. Please proceed, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and good morning for those who have dialed in from a different time zone. My name is Robin Chang. I cover Asia Semiconductor sector for Bank of America Security. It is our great pleasure today to host the third quarter 21 earnings conference call for GlobalWafers. We have Ms. Doris Hsu, chairperson and CEO, as well as Mr. William Chen, VP and spokesperson, as our main speakers today. I think first, the management will give a recap of the 3Q21 results and outlook, followed by a questions and answer session. So without further ado, let me hand over the call to the management.
Okay, thanks, Robbie. Hello, everyone. Welcome to joining GlobalWafers Q3 2021 earnings call. I'm Warren Chang, GlobalWafer Vice President and the company spokesperson. We also have Doris Hsu, chairperson and the CEO of GlobalWafers in this call. Doris will give us the executive comments first, and then I will present the industry overview, Siltronic transaction, lower carbon footprint, and the Q3 2021 performance update. Then final Q&A session will be hosted by Doris as usual. For today's presentation file, we had uploaded onto company website around 2 hours ago. If you do not have the file on hand, please access into our website to get the most updated file. Please note that some information during our discussion today will consist of forward-looking statements, which are applied throughout the call and this presentation. These are subject to significant risks and uncertainties. Actual results or trend could differ materially from our forecast. Please refer to Safe Harbor Notice in our presentation, page 1, disclaimer. Now, I'd like to hand over the call to Doris for the page 2 executive comments. Doris, please.
Thank you, William. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining GlobalWafers earnings call of Q3 2021. First of all, let me share some summary and comments of our Q3 2021 financial results and update our operation status. First of all, page 2, please. Financial highlights. In 2021, 3 quarters have passed, though encountering a lot of headwinds in the semiconductor industry, including China power rationing, surging prices in a lot of raw materials, freight, enhanced movement control in Malaysia. All of these headwinds, that luckily, fortunately, GWC managed pretty well. Revenue-wise, our Q3 revenue totaled 15.4 billion NT, which is almost 9.7% YOY growth. Accumulated revenue as of September 30th totaled 45.4 billion, which is 10.1% growth YOY. So this hitting the record high as well. So up to Q3 2021, GlobalWafers has already been growing for 8 consecutive quarters revenue-wise. In terms of our gross margin, it has been increasing for 3 consecutive quarters and hits 39.1% in Q3. In Q1, our gross margin was 35%, Q2 was 36.7%, and Q3 now we reached 39.1%. So we improved our gross margin by 4% in 2 quarters. Our Q3 EPS is 7.13 NT per share, and the cumulative 3-quarter EPS up to now amounted to 22.4 NT dollar per share. Our Q3 revenue, gross margin, operating income were all much better than Q2, but our EPS was lower than Q2 for the following reasons. Our Q3 net income was 3.1 billion NT, decreased by 850 million from our Q2's net income, 3.96 billion NT. This is mainly due to non-operational losses from valuation of our financial assets, including the mark-to-market loss on Siltronic shares GWC holds, and the interest expenses from the amortization of the discounted value of ECB, which was based on IFRS accounting policy. So both of the above, both of the aforementioned two losses are non-cash losses. Except the above non-operating losses, our Q3 result is quite remarkable considering all the uncertainties and frustrations in the macroeconomics, logistic issues, and also the pandemic. Page 3, please. I will summarize some of our prepayment status and capacity. First of all, the prepayment. As of end of September this year, our prepayment balance amount is as high as 22.4 billion NT, or around US dollar 800 million. Our production lines of all diameters, from small diameter up to 300 millimeter, are fully loaded throughout the whole year to 2021. And the high utilization will continue into 2022 with more LTAs signing. And also, I would like to make some comment about China power rationing. China power supply crunch disrupt supply chain. Our Chinese subsidiary factory, SST, which locates in Kunshan with rather small revenue contribution, swiftly implements emergency plan, and also combined with a very flexible allocation strategy and also support from other sites, the impact to GWC is quite minimal. In addition to China, in Malaysia, we had some headwinds as well in Q3. In Malaysia, the Enhanced Movement Control Order, or EMCO, not only aggravates chip shortage, but also caused GWC Malaysia site a lot of capacity loss in Q3. Fortunately, the operation already resumes to 100% since September. And next, I think I would like to make some update of our Siltronic transaction. Up to today, GlobalWafers has received clearance from Germany, Austria, Korean, Taiwan, Singapore, U.S. antitrust authorities, and CFIUS in the U.S. GlobalWafers is continuing to actively and positively, very constructively cooperate with the remaining regulators with the aim of closing the transaction before the end of 2021. Next, I will update a little bit about our view of the industry and the outlook on the macroeconomics and also the semiconductor industry. According to IMF, we are seeing a very strong 2021, expanding by 6%, yet the economic development of each country is deeply affected by the highly uneven vaccination. For the semiconductor industry, strong demand in consumer electronics brings very promising outlook. However, an even economy recovery, fragile global transportation system, material price surge, inflations, all of these factors cast uncertainties and risks in the semiconductor industry. In automotive industry, we have seen very strong recovery in the automotive market, and EV is scaling up with the pillars of supportive regulatory frameworks and additional incentive. And for 5G, 5G is another driver for the growth of the whole semiconductor industry. 5G is enabling revolution in connectivity, in an unprecedentedly pace. Its coverage is widening with accelerated network infrastructure and the replacement demand. Next is for compound semiconductor, especially silicon carbide and gallium nitride. With compact and reliable features, silicon carbide and gallium nitride offer very high efficiency, much higher efficiency than silicon-based devices. It is likely to witness a significant growth because of its rapidly growing applications in various products, including EVs and 5G. GWC have commercial silicon carbide and gallium nitride revenue already, and more wafer samples are under customers' qualification now. It is estimated to have more compound wafer qualified and contributed revenue in 2022 with a significant YOY growth rate. Last but not the least, that I would like to comment a little bit about our lower carbon footprint. While extreme weather worsens, many nations have already announced carbon tax to reduce the use of fossil fuels. With extensive global footprint, GWC is well positioned to supply both globally and locally to mitigate the environmental impact of long distance shipments, as well as macro instability and geopolitical tensions. GWC also commit to 100% renewable energy usage by 2050 with progressive goals and constructive plans. The above are my summary and comments. William will share more details on the industry trend and our financial results with everyone. Thank you very much, everyone. And William, please.
Thanks, Doris. Now, let's share some pages of industry overview. Please turn to page 6, Global GDP Growth Forecast. From IMF, caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, there was -3.1% contraction in 2020. The latest forecast, global economy is set to expand 5.9% growth in 2021 and 4.9% in 2022. This 2022 4.9% growth is combining 4.5% in advanced economies with 5.1% in emerging markets. Page 7, 2022 semiconductor revenue forecast. From IC Insights, Gartner, WSTS, and Semico, the 2022 semiconductor market growth are 12%, 9.9%, 8.8%, and 6% respectively. The average semi market growth forecast is 9.2% in 2022, anticipating another year of robust growth on top of surging 2021. Page 8, global silicon wafer shipment forecast. From SEMI, global silicon wafer shipment are projected to reach a record high of nearly 14,000 million of square inches, with 13.9% growth rate in 2021. They are almost projected with continued YOY growth with 6.4%, 4.6%, and 2.9% to reach more than 16,000 million of square inch in 2024. Page 9, semiconductor revenue forecast. From Gartner, on the right-hand side of the diagram, NAND and the DRAM are predicted to be the largest semiconductor segment market in 2025. NAND will be growing to $90 billion, with 10% CAGR, and the DRAM will be $100 billion with 6% CAGR. Regarding the highest TAM CAGR, integrated baseband, RF front-end devices, and the discrete GPU are the top three segments, given they are remaining smaller segments of the industry. Page 10, semi-fab count by diameter forecast. Also from SEMI, the total semiconductor fab quantity will increase from 957 in 2019 to 1,011 set in 2022. Among them, only 6 new fabs adding for 150mm fab, 18 new fabs in 200mm, and 30 new fabs in 300mm. 300mm wafer will be the mainstream in the future. It is benefited from technology advancement, such as 5G, AI, and high-performance computing. Page 11, IC foundry sales. According to IC Insights, the total foundry sales will surpass $100 billion for the first time in 2021. The growth trend will continue to 2025 at $151 billion, with a rapid average annual growth rate of 11.6%. In 2025, the pure play foundry market is expected to expand CAGR 12.2% to $125 billion. And the IDM foundry market expanded 9% CAGR to $26 billion. Page 12, 5G coverage in Tier 1 cities will reach 60% in 2024. From Gartner, the worldwide 5G network infrastructure revenue is estimated to grow 39% to $19.1 billion in 2021, and will maintain an upward trend with 22% growth rate to $23.3 billion in 2022. In 2020, only 10% of communication service providers offered the commercialized 5G service, and it is estimated 60% of CSP will cover Tier 1 cities at the end of 2024. Page 13, automotive MCU sales forecast. From IC Insights, given chip shortage recently, automotive MCU sales are forecast 23% growth in 2021, reaching a record high level of $7.6 billion. 2022 is estimated to have strong increase 14%, and 2023 with 16% increase. Page 14, electric vehicles become the mainstream of the future. From DigiTimes, more and more areas, countries, cities, governments had announced significant incentive programs and gradually tightened the fuel economy that has spurred the uptake of EV and scaled up in EV manufacturing. By 2035, most of current internal combustion cars will be replaced by battery electric cars and hybrid cars. Page 15, silicon carbide and gallium nitride, key driver for electric vehicles. From TrendForce, gallium nitride power devices market will grow to $850 million in 2025 with 78% CAGR, and the silicon carbide power devices will reach $3.4 billion with 38% CAGR in 2025. Withstanding high voltage and high temperatures, 20% of gallium nitride and 61% of silicon carbide will be expected to be used in new energy vehicles in 2025. Next, update to the Siltronic transaction moving progress. Please refer to page 17, development of takeover offer for Siltronic. From the chart, we had newly received the U.S. antitrust clearance on October 5th. Up to date, besides U.S. antitrust, GlobalWafers had received the clearance from German, Austria, Korea, Taiwan, and Singapore antitrust authorities, and the CFIUS in the U.S. The settlement schedule of the takeover offer, as Doris mentioned right now, is aiming of closing the transaction by the end of 2021. On page 18, just update the lower carbon footprint. Page 18, ready to respond to carbon tariffs. EU and the US plan to implement carbon tax policies, which will put a carbon price on imports of a target selection of products. Global Wafers, as a global solution provider with global footprint, will try to minimize carbon leakage by supplying locally and implement the profound experiences of its parent company, Sino-American Silicon Products Incorporation, in the field of solar energy to achieve net carbon emission. Now let's move to this quarter performance update. Page 21, Q3 2021 financial highlight. Q3 21 revenue, 15.4 billion NT dollars, with QOQ plus 1% growth and YOY plus 9.7%. As mentioned right now, Q3 Malaysia lockdown is one cause reason of this smaller QOQ growth percentage. The first three quarters revenue is 45.4 billion NT dollars, which is YOY plus 10.1% growth, hit a record high of first three quarters revenues. Besides, not only the first three quarters record high revenue, Global Wafers also reached the 8 consecutive quarters of revenue growth, regardless of headwinds in 2019 and 2020. Gross margin. Company generated three consecutive quarters gross margin growth. Significant improvement in Q3 up to 39.1%. This high gross margin were mainly driven by higher capacity utilization, better product mixing, and improved ASP in Q3. EPS. Q3 21 EPS 7.13 NT dollars. And the first three quarter 21 EPS 22.4 NT dollars was with YOY 0.19 NT dollars increase. Page 22, QOQ financial highlight. In QOQ comparison table, Global Wafers reached revenue plus 1%, given face the Malaysia lockdown in Q3. Gross profit margin percentage plus 2.4%. This significant improvement from Q2 36.7% into Q3 39.1%. Again, was attributed by full capacity utilization, better product mixing, and improved ASP in Q3. Operating profit percentage plus 2.3%. It was huge improved from 28% into 30.4%. Given we are continuously spending expenses in Siltronic acquisition regulatory approval process. Net profit minus 21.5% and the EPS minus 1.96 NT dollars. Given we had significantly improved the Q3 gross profit margin percentage and the operating profit percentage. However, as mentioned by Doris right now, impacted by enhanced acquired Siltronic stocks market to market price revaluation from Q2 end 142.2 euro to Q3 end 137 euro. We had more than 800 million NT dollars financial asset loss from these holding stocks. That is more than 1.9 NT dollars EPS loss in Q3 because of this stock reevaluation. That was also the reason why the negative QOQ result in EBITDA minus 22%, ROE minus 8.3%, and ROA minus 4.6% in this page. That's because of the same reason of Siltronic holding stock market-to-market price re-evaluation loss. Page 23, YOY financial highlight. For YOY comparison table, revenue plus 9.7%, gross margin percentage plus 1.9%, operating profit percent plus 1.2%. That is showing the Q3 2021 pure operating performance were completely recovering over Q3 2020, also the whole 2020 year. Regarding those YOY negative items, net profit, EBITDA, ROE, ROA, as explained at previous page, it was because of Q3 2021 carry huge financial asset loss from Siltronic stocks, market-to-market price revaluation. Page 24, financial highlight for first three quarter 2021 versus first three quarter 2020. For the first three quarters comparison, the first three quarters 21 was with better revenue, operating profit, net profit, EPS, and the EBITDA. This recovery result firmly demonstrated that the leading industry growing demand had worked out from the COVID-19 impacting since 2020. Page 25, revenue and the gross margin. Given market is still impacted by COVID-19 and the higher logistic cost, increasing material prices, unfavorable weaker US dollars headwinds, and unexpected country lockdown. GlobalWafers is still generating 8 consecutive quarter revenue growth. Q3 21 gross margin strongly rebounded 2.4% from 36.7% in Q2 up to 39.1% in Q3. That is the third highest gross margin percentage, just next to the historical peak period in first half 2019. Page 26, EBITDA and EPS. Q3 21 EBITDA to revenue percentage was continuously maintained at the same high level as of 38.4% since 2018. EPS 22.4 dollars was the third highest three quarters EPS in company history. Page 27, income statement. In Q3 21 income statement, just recap, revenue continuously exceeded 15 billion NT dollars with QOQ 1% growth and the YOY 9.7% growth. Gross profit percentage significant increase to 39.1% as the third highest in company history. Operating profit percentage also improved into 30.4%, continuously recovery from COVID-19 impacting. EBITDA, net profit percentage, and the EPS dropping were caused by Siltronic share evaluation at fair price. Page 28, balance sheet. In Q3 21, balance sheet just highlight. Cash and cash equivalents. Huge increasing was because of ECB and the CB issuing in Q2 and Q3. Same as long-term loan, increasing was driven up by ECB and the CB issuing. Shareholder equity was continuously increasing to 47.4 billion NT dollars. Inventory was maintained at the same level as of 7 billion NT dollars. Above is my presentation. Thank you. And next, I would like to hand over to Doris for Q&A session. Doris, please.
Okay, thank you very much, William. Yes, same as like what we always do, that before we open the Q&A section line to all the audience, we will, first of all, I will reply some questions we have received in the past several days and prior to the call today. So I will start from my my answers to those questions first. Basically, those questions will be categorized to three groups. The first group is Siltronic project related, and the second group is financial result related, and the third group is our business outlook related. So let me start from the first group. Siltronic, the question we received about Siltronic, this deal related questions. The first questions we received, and which received from many investors and journalists, is that what is the deadline of the deal of the of that deal, and what if you do not get all approvals by the deadline? What will happen to the deal? The deadline to fulfill this completion condition is on 31st January 2022. And I think this is not easy to be extended. This project remains our top priority. We continue to actively work towards satisfying the regulatory conditions. Despite the complex regulatory process, Siltronic and GlobalWafers teams are working very closely together, making constructive progress toward the acquisition of acquisition deal, with the objective of closing before the end of 2021. This is the most frequently asked question in the past 1 week. So this is the first question. And the second question is that, what's the status on antitrust approval process from China as we are approaching year end? Any chance of the approval gets delayed into 2022? And our question for this, and our answer for this question is that the regulatory approval in China remains on track. We continue to actively work towards satisfying the regulatory conditions. So we are working together with Siltronic. We are making quite a lot of progress toward the for this project. So our target is still to close the deal by end of the year. The third question is that why will the acquisition progress into the end of 2021 or January next year, and which regulator was driving the delay? Also, we receive a lot of parties asking this question, and our answer to this is that it is not our company's policy to comment on individual jurisdictions. So we are we keep working on this project, and we will try our best to close the transaction before the end of the year. And the next question is that why did GlobalWafers and Siltronic have different expectations on timing of the closing? I think both parties are largely aligned in our individual assessment of the situation as we continue to work very closely together to get the outstanding approvals by end of the year. So not so big difference. And next question is that why does Siltronic make the acquisition delay announcement at that moment? Our answer for this one is that we cannot comment on any actions taken by the other party. Despite the complex process, I think we are still working very closely. We are trying to close the deal by end of the year. Next question is that what do you do in case of the transaction fails to go through? Our answer to this question is that this project remains our top priority. We continue to to working, doing all whatever possible to communicate with the jurisdiction and try to satisfy the regulatory conditions. So that's our answer to this one. And next question is that if this deal is successful, does the Global Wafers have any plans for further expansion? I think one of the key deal objectives for this deal and plans after closing of the transaction is to leverage the greater scale of the combined business and to accelerate the growth. So far we don't have any solid plan for further expansion after the merger, the combination. And next question is that does Global Wafers plan to increase its shareholding in Siltronic? I think our answer is that our answer to this question is that no, we do not plan to increase our shareholding prior to settlement of the transaction. So we will wait for regulatory clearance. And post settlement, we will review our shareholding in Siltronic at the appropriate timing. So for now, no plan to increase the shareholding in Siltronic. This is all the question we received about Siltronic project. The second group of our question is the net the financial report related. The first question for financial report is that is for net income. The first question is that 2021 Q3, our net income, GWC net income was 3.1 billion NT, decreased by 850 million from Q2 this year. They want to know that why the net income is lower, because our revenue, gross margin, and operating income are all much better than Q2. But why the net income is lower than Q2? So the reason is that this gap is mainly due to non-operating and non-cash losses from valuation of financial assets, which was caused mainly by the mark-to-market loss on Siltronic shares held by Global Wafers. However, all of these non-operating losses were non-cash for accounting purpose only. That's our question for this one. And the next question is about our ECB interest expense. You know, we closed our ECB on June 1st, so Q3 we had a much higher ECB interest expense. So our answer for this question is that 2021 Q3, the interest expense was 108 million NT, increased by 56 million from Q2. And this is mainly due to the amortization of the discounted value of ECB. Based on IFRS accounting policy, the amount is discounted to present value using effective interest rate method and amortized over time during the life of ECB. Therefore, this ECB interest expense will be recognized in each quarter going forward during the life of ECB. This is also, again, a non-cash, non-operating accounting items. Okay, so this is the second question of this group. And the third question is that why was 2021 GWC Q3 EBITDA margin down by 10.4% from Q2. And the answer for this one is this is mainly due to the decrease in net income before tax. just like what I explained, that you, because of those non-cash mark-to-market and also some ECB-related expenses, I think if we excluding those non-cash mark-to-market valuation on Siltronic shares held, the EBITDA margin will increase from 38.9% in Q2 to 40.6% in Q3. So actually, if we exclude the factor of mark-to-market, our Q3 EBITDA was higher than Q2. Next question is about gross margin. Our gross margin, Q3 gross margin, increased a lot to 39.1%. So the question is that why did GlobalWafers 2021 Q3 gross margin increased by 2.4% to 39.1% from Q2? And this, the answer to this is that mainly due to higher ASP and better product mix. These are the main reasons. Next question is foreign exchange gain and loss result. So the question was, what was the foreign exchange gain and loss for this quarter, and what's the accumulative for the first three quarters in 2021? Our answer is that in 2021 Q3, the foreign exchange gain was 45 million NT. Net of hedging costs and losses of 9 million NT, resulting in a net foreign exchange gain of 35.7 million. This is our Q3 foreign exchange gain, the result of our foreign exchange. And if for the first three quarters in 2021, the accumulated foreign exchange gain was NT 547 million, net of hedging costs and losses of NT 434 million, resulting in a net foreign exchange gain of NT 112 million. This is our accumulated first three quarters foreign exchange earnings in the first three quarters. So this is the financial result, the last question of our financial result related question. And next, the third group of the question are our business outlook related questions. The first question is that, how would China power cut affect the economy as a whole and the semiconductor industry? Our view is that the outages could have an impact on the global computer chip shortage. Through our Kunshan and electronics manufacturing hub has been impacted by the energy shortage as well, but its revenue contribution is rather small for GWC, the consolidated group. So with our very flexible allocation and some adjustment with the other sites, I think the impact to us in Q3 was quite minimal. But we are monitoring the power supply in China very closely. And the second question is that, how about the capacity and demand outlook in 2021 and 2022? I think from our market insight, there are major segments where the demand already exceeds supply. For example, 300mm epi is the starting material. And looking at the overall market, the demand signal has been unique from previous hot markets in that it has affected all diameters and all products, driving all GlobalWafers product lines to be fully utilized now. We can also confirm that the spot pricing is also quite healthy, and our view is that the demand and ASP will remain strong in 2022. This is our view. Okay, next question is that, what are Global Weaver's view toward 2024 and beyond? Will there be oversupply, being, you know, so many greenfield and a lot of expansions from silicon wafer suppliers? And our view is that the 300 millimeter worldwide silicon supply is unable to satisfy the current demand. So in the period of 2020 to 2022, 30 new 300 millimeter fabs are expected to start up. That's what also William presented that chart as well. Analysts believe that even if the announced new 300 millimeter silicon wafer production capacity will be made available, I think the demand will not be completely satisfied. So we are confident that even beyond 2024 and beyond, I think there will be no oversupply. The whole supply demand will be still healthy. That's our view. And next question is that, is GWC seeing the supply tightness easing now? I think GWC, up to now, we are not seeing any softening as order rates are still accelerating. The 200 millimeter and 300 millimeter products are maintaining the same traction and saturation level in Q4 relative to Q3. A small diameter, I mean 150 millimeter and below, dipped a little bit in Q3. That was mainly because of Malaysia COVID issue, but Q4 is now showing a very strong recovery again, even for small diameter. So as a clear example, our largest, one of our largest smaller diameter customer has just confirmed a demand for the full year of 2022 at the maximum allocation level. So we are quite confident that the whole supply, the whole demand is still strong, and we are not seeing any tightness easing now. So next question is that, does GlobalWafers have any concerns over the recent noise on the end demand in TV, PC, and China smartphones? Will this alter the supply-demand dynamic of silicon wafer for 2022? This is the question. And our answer to this is that there is no significant increasing for the silicon wafer supply in 2022. So, regarding the worldwide demand, I think accumulating from all industry, industrial and applications, there will be a very healthy worldwide demand growth to fill up existing macro capacities, all the capacity, especially a stronger demand from advanced node applications. So we don't have any concern over the recent some noise of the China smartphones and some other TV, PC related demand. And next question is regarding to our LTA prepayment. The question was that how much prepayment we have already received this year for new LTA. The answer for this is that our total prepayment balance as of the end of September was about $800 million, but if we are talking about new LTA signed this year, new LTA only, actually we have already have received over 6 billion NT. That's, I'm talking about new LTA only. Actually more prepayments are on the way for the new LTAs we have already signed, and the new LTAs we already signed. So LTA prepayments are increasing. Next question about our LTA is that your total prepayment has stabilized from 2021, and recently we have announced some long-term agreement with some strategic partners such as Global Foundries. So the question is that could you discuss the progress on the new contracts and the existing LTA renewals? Are the customers in general more willing to negotiate the contract with better pricing and longer duration? The answer to this is that yes, most of our customers now have been very open and even requesting to renew or extend new LTAs or sign new LTAs with us at the adjusted terms in order to secure the supply they need in the next 3 to 8 years. So we feel that we see some difference. Unlike the 2017 and 2018 upturn, most of GWC's customers now have now seen the benefit of our LTA strategy in providing stable supply at very reasonable pricing. So in this current market environment, our customers have been very willing to continue this model and extend to future years, even longer terms than last term, 2017-2018 LTAs. So these are the questions we received in the past several days prior to the call this today. Thank you very much for your time. So now it's open for LTA, for Q&A, sorry. Thank you.
Everyone, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply press star two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you'll be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. Please make sure to only ask two questions while live to ensure the opportunity for others to ask questions as well. So once again, if you have a question, please press star and one now, and please refrain from asking more than two questions at once. If you would not have any further questions, please press star and one again to get into the queue. And our first question is coming from Donnie Tang from Nomura. You are now live.
Hi, thank you, Chair Lady and William, for taking my question. I have two short questions. The first one is still regarding to gross margin, because as you can see that actually there has been lots of negative impact on our manufacturing during the quarter, but we still deliver very strong gross margin. Of course, you have mentioned about that mainly due to price hike and the product mix improvement. I'm just curious that if you could elaborate more on if there was any kind of like a significant lift up of the semi wafer price in third quarter, mainly driven by like maybe new LTA kicking or any other reasons, and what kind of gross margin we should expect into the next couple quarters. And second question is regarding to the material cost hike. So we have seen that the polysilicon price increased a lot in the past few months in terms of both solar and semi-grade polysilicon. So wondering how should we manage this kind of rising material cost going forward? And also, could you tell us about something about like Sino-American? Is there any impact to Sino-American's solar business? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Sonny, for your question. The first question, gross margin. That's a very good question. I think that product mix, ASP are the main reasons, but let me elaborate a little bit more detail. As what we explained earlier, Q3 we had some headwinds, and those headwinds are mainly in Malaysia and China. That means that most of the products we got affected are small diameters. Like in Malaysia, that's our 6-inch fab, and in China, because of the power control, power rationing, and our Kunshan, our China fab is 100% for small diameter as well. So that means that in Q3, our small diameter fabs got a big hit than all the other bigger diameters. And as everyone knows that the gross margin wise, small diameters gross margin is way lower than 8-inch and 12-inch. And in Q3, if you look into, of course, we didn't disclose this detailed pie chart to the market, but actually our Q2 shipment revenue, our small diameter the weight of our small diameter is much lower than before, lower than our average. So that is the main reason, in addition to the ASP improvement and new LDA kicking, I think it's much smaller, much lower weight of our small diameter. That is one of the main reasons for a better gross margin as well. And how about the gross margin in the future? I think that we have positive factor for our gross margin, such as the ASP improvement, new LTAs, better ASP, and better product mix. But also we have negative factors as well. Like what you said, that we are seeing a price hike of polysilicon and quite a lot of material costs, and also transportation costs is extremely tight as well. I think the whole infrastructure system, especially the transportation, is not only much higher rate but also a longer time. So we got a lot of impact from those negative impact on our gross margin as well. So we are trying to minimize the impact from those negative factors, and we try to protect our positive one. I would say that the gross margin in the future will be somewhere like what we are seeing today, 39%. I think this is 39 to 40% should be a reasonable target for our team. Of course, there are still something very unpredictable. For example, foreign exchange. We don't know the currency, how strong the currency will be. You know that most of our orders are in US dollars. So if US dollar remain very weak, then maybe it will be more difficult for us. And also another factor is that we are still negotiating with our material suppliers. We try to minimize the impact on the material cost hiking, but we are still working on this. So I would say that our internal goal is to keep the gross margin always very stable, close to or slightly better than our Q3 gross margin. That's my answer to your first question. And the second question about polysilicon, yeah, that is extremely very true that because of the metal grade silicon price, the raw material polysilicon increased 4x in the past several weeks. So that is definitely a big impact to polysilicon price. Fortunately, for GlobalWafers, we placed the order of our polysilicon for the whole year already in last year. So we always place polysilicon PO once every year. So we already secured the price of our polysilicon price. But next year, definitely the cost will be higher than this year. We are still working with our customer, negotiating with our strategic partners. So far, I think it's unavoidable that we will suffer some polysilicon price increase, and not only polysilicon, some chemical price increase and a lot of material price increase. I think we will suffer this, but we try to manage to control the price increase to a lower percent. So, but I apologize, I cannot disclose that what will be the final number. We are still in the final stage of the negotiation for 2022's material cost. So that's the heavy one. SAS is a solar company. SAS has, of course, SAS used a lot of polysilicon. That's a good thing for us as well, because we always, whenever we negotiate polysilicon, we always bundle our semiconductor grade and solar grade polysilicon, try to increase our bargaining chips to negotiate with our supplier, and that does help. So I think our polysilicon price impact, the percentage of our price increase should be a little bit lower than the average in the market. So that benefit both GlobalWafers and Sino American. So that's my short reply to your question. Thank you very much, Donnie.
Our next question is coming from William Yang from J.P. Morgan. You are now live.
Hi, Doris and William. Thank you for taking my question. I have just one follow-up about the deal. Just curious, is it possible to share with us follow specific bottleneck or concern from China and the Japan regulatory? Why do they not approve this deal yet versus the other countries? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. That I want to know the answer as well. But we keep working with them. I think for Japan, I think we have already answered all the questions, prepared all the documents. I think it's very, very close to the final clearance, but we cannot comment anything before we get the clearance. And for China as well, we have very constructive communication with China, SEMAR and all the related government offices as well. So yeah, they are very slow. We keep pushing, but so far all the questions are constructive, all the answer communications are constructive, but they are just very slow. Yes, and Germany also, we're waiting for it. Germany's also, we have quite a lot of communication with Germany. So these are the final three countries we are waiting for the clearance. But it's very hard for us to, it's not, according to our company's policy, I cannot share too much details of individual jurisdictions. Sorry about that. Thank you, William.
Yeah, thank you, no worries.
In the interest of time, perhaps we can take one last question before we conclude the call.
Our next question, that is going to be from Hans Liu. You're now live.
Okay, hi Doris, hi William, congratulations on the good results and thanks for taking my questions. And my first question is regarding our long-term agreement and pricing. I think the LTA you have now is at the highest level in the past few years and also grew by 40% since the trough in the first quarter this year. Does that mean the percentage of your capacity connected by LTA is higher compared with the previous cycle? And also, could you let us know if the apple-to-apple pricing for new LTA is better than the LTA you signed a few years ago? And my second question is about the capacity expansion plan for your own capacity expansion plan. With your peers building a new fab for ramp from 2024, could you update how much capacity you expect to expand from 2021 to 2023? And do you expect to have a plan to build a new fab for ramp in 2024? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for your question. First of all, for the expansion, I think we have several expansions in many countries. I mean, in GWC, first of all, we don't have any greenfield. We have no plan to have greenfield expansion. And up to now, no greenfield expansion. But we have brownfield expansion development in Korea, Taiwan, Japan, and also Europe. So we and USA, that's a very big one as well. So we have expansion in these five countries, and we keep working on the expansion very aggressively. And most of the capacity will be available from some part of the capacity will be available from the from Q4 2023 or Q1 or Q1 first half. It's very hard to say the percentage because we make the expansion on various on different products. For example, in US, we expand our SOI capacity, and that is a brand new. And the percentage, the capacity expansion is huge because we didn't have too much 300 millimeter SOI capacity, but now we are going to have a big one. But in general, I can put it this way that in general, most of our expansion is in 300 millimeter, either 300 millimeter wafer or 300 millimeter epi or 300 millimeter SOI. So most of our expansion is on 300 millimeter. This is the number one biggest expansion. And the second expansion, the second important expansion is compound. We are doing a lot of expansion on compound, including silicon carbide and also gallium nitride. Both of these two, we will have big expansion next year as well. This is my question to your second, my answer to your second question. And for your first question, our LTA coverage, I think our LTA coverage is same or slightly higher than previous 2017 and 2018. In 2017-18, we had a very high LTA coverage as well. But this time, for some diameter, same, but for some other diameter and product application lines, our coverage is even a little bit higher than 2017-2018's LTA status. What's more different than previous cycle is that this time our LTA cover basically all diameter. We have quite some LTAs for small diameter, 6-inch as well. Because quite a lot of our 6-inch wafers are for specific power application or automotive applications. So those applications, we receive a lot of LTAs to cover, secure those applications, even they are small diameters. If we compare apple to apple, I think all of the new LTA's price are higher than previous LTA, apple to apple. So the LTA improvement is not only the product mix improvement, even apple to apple, new LTA prices are higher than previous one. And there are several reasons for this high price adjustment, even for apple to apple. New LTA's price are higher. Several main reasons. The most important reason is foreign exchange rate. Because in 2017-2018, when we signed LTAs, at that time, US dollar was much stronger than today's US dollar. So as I said earlier, that most of our orders are in US dollar, most of our sales in US dollar. So weak US dollar make our cost much higher than last cycle. So this is the first reason why apple to apple our new LTA price is higher. And the second reason is that the material cost is much higher than previous cycle. At that time, if we compare with last cycle, I think polysilicon price is so much, now is so much higher. And actually, we are talking about not only polysilicon price, but almost everything, transportation cost at least 2.5x. And a lot of chemical and material consumables are much higher as well. So we are suffering much higher material costs and weak US dollars. So that is why our new LTA prices are higher. And of course, the tightness of the supply, that is, of course, definitely another reason for this strong demand. So to sum up, the summary is that our new LTA, this cycle, our LTA coverage is slightly higher than previous one, but we cover all diameter, not like previous, not every products are covered. And price-wise, even we compare apple by apple, I think new apple to apple, new LTA's price is still higher than previous one due to a lot of cost increase. Thank you very much for your question. That's my answer. Thank you.
Okay, just a quick follow-up. How much material cost is percentage of your total cost? Thank you.
Total coverage of our LTA, was that your question?
No, no, no. How much material cost is percentage of your total cost?
The polysilicon cost, the polysilicon cost, or what? The material cost?
Including like chemical and polysilicon.
Our cost breakdown is confidential information according to our company policy. Sorry, we cannot comment on this one. Thank you.
Okay. That is very helpful. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Thank you very much for your question again. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you everyone for participating. Thank you, Doris and William, for your time. I think we're up to over 1 hour on this call. So if it's okay, perhaps we will conclude our call here.
Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you. Have a very good day. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.